The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Conor Faulkner, a transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC, is with me in the studio. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
A number of topics today. First of all, there's a report in Britain about the glare from headlights.
Yeah, this could be a fairly big story. It's from my old friends, the AA, in the UK, and they did a big survey of motorists, and they found that 3 out of 4 drivers are complaining that glare from new car headlights is getting worse. And that's not standalone, because I'm aware of a European study that had 10 consumer clubs in various different countries. And they said 8 out of 10 people said it was a problem that's getting worse. So are new car headlights too big and too bright? The answer is possibly yes. We may need to tighten the rules on them at EU level. But I also think a big factor is the shape of modern cars, because SUVs are now over 50% of the new car market.
So the lights are higher up than they used to be.
The lights are higher mounted. So it's not so much that there's more luminosity in these new lights, it's just that the way they're mounted, they're practically coming in your back windscreen, and it can feel off-putting and intimidating.
So what can we do? Because, I mean, the great thing about modern lights is that they do, when you're on a country road, they illuminate it like day, and it's great.
Yeah, and it's fantastic, and they do so at a far lower carbon cost. Actually, the bigger problem with lights is the old-fashioned one. They go out of alignment. They go kind of cross-eyed. And in Ireland, that's a particular problem. I remember RAA, when I was with them a few years ago, we did a study, and we discovered that the counties that have the most potholes are also the counties that have the most headlight failures for NCT, which is logical enough. If you shake the bejesus out of the car, the headlights will come out of alignment. And actually, there's technology now for new cars to self-correct that, so that the headlights will correct themselves. And there will be EU law on that in
and
a couple of years.
Of course, there are systems in most modern cars now where you have them on a particular setting, the headlights, and they'll automatically dip.
And they'll automatically dip. They will be aware of headlights ahead and they will automatically dip. So again, the machine is sort of taking over from the driver and correcting for driver fallibility. But an awful lot of it is still driver behaviour. And if you're in a large new car, particularly one of those oversized ones like that, just be cognizant of it. And if you turn on your full beams like a pair of cannons, that is very intimidating for other road users, particularly in Ireland, where a lot of our road is secondary country road, which is dark.
Now, looking at a headline in the Irish Times today, more than 68,000 are waiting for driving tests. Are you surprised?
Not really. And I'm dithering as to whether that's a good number or a bad number. It certainly used to be worse. But the average wait time now is about 21 weeks nationally, and it's only supposed to be 12. So that on the face of it looks pretty poor. However, if you dig into it, when people are looking for a driving test urgently, they can almost always be facilitated. There are a lot of cancellation slots. Actually, one of the causes of the problem is that there's so many cancellation slots, people not turning up. So people who are on the list for a long time, it tends to be because it suits them. If you hear that, you know, my test is coming up in 7 months, okay, grand. And you won't try and speed that up unless you need to.
So of the 68,000 people who are waiting for a driving test, we don't know how many of them are really eagerly awaiting.
Yeah, and some are. And, you know, those, I need it now. I've got a job application pending.
They will be facilitated.
They're usually facilitated. And the RSA, to be fair to them, are actually very good on that. So we've seen this crisis worse. But sleeping in the mix there, amongst the data patch, there's a cohort out there who don't have proper driving licenses and will, you know, apply for the test and then never turn up at all just so they can renew their insurance and carry on. And those guys, their days are numbered. The insurance database and various other things are catching up with them. So you will have to regularise.
They're talking to each other, the database and the Gardaí. They're all talking to each other, and you will be found.
You will, particularly now, where insurance is
concerned. The more disturbing story that we're going to cover today is about the rise in the incidence of hit-and-run accidents. Not all of them fatal, but something like 10% of all accidents. 1 in 10, something happens and the driver...
Yeah.
Scurries off.
I had no idea that the figure was that high. I mean, there have been a few very high profile ones laterally that were very, very serious, including fatalities. So they obviously catch the eye. But the journal.ie did a good study. They've guarded the data which they're citing. And they looked at a 2 month period. The last 2 months, there were 177 fatal or serious road crashes during that period. And 16 of them were hit and runs. And if you look at a similar period for last year, the numbers hold more or less the same. So it's something like 8 or 9% of all serious crashes where the driver involved drives away. Mm. And that's obviously a really worrying piece of data.
Good morning, Pat. I was knocked off my motorbike at a busy roundabout in Blanchardstown on Monday. I was dragged 3 metres as I clumped my bike and the side of the car, eventually falling and just avoiding being crossed by the car. It proceeded to drive off as I lay on the ground, relieved to have only minor injuries. Drivers, says Will, are out of control.
Well, that driver certainly was, and it's grotesquely irresponsible. Even if hypothetically the motorbike was completely responsible for the crash, the driver leaving the scene, that's a very serious offence.
No matter whose fault it is, leaving the scene is a crime.
If you leave the scene of an accident, that is a very serious road traffic offence. It can carry up to 10 years imprisonment, depending on the severity of the incident. Now, I would suspect that some of these, and I don't want to be trite about it, some of them might be at the very minor end of the scale. It could be like a road rage incident, you know, we shouted at each other and I fell off my bike and the other guy drove away and flipped me the bird. And I said, well, my look at my wheels dented, that's a hit and run. And maybe some of them are just not that serious. But others are obviously extremely serious, including, I mean, some are still part of active guard investigations and some include fatalities.
Conor, thank you very much for joining us. Conor Faulkner, who is transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.